How many are fully persuaded that God has ordained today and He has ordained for you to be here?
Amen.
And you are here to hear a word from the Lord today.
Amen.
The Word of God changes your life. Thank you, Father God. God has not changed His mind concerning you, no matter what you've been through.
Come on.
It's just more evidence that what He has said to you to be of truth.
Yeah.
Amen. So no matter what you are going through today, God has a word for you.
Amen.
And we're going to get into the word this morning and find out about the bride of Christ. I am a note preacher, but I have been known to not go by it sometime. So this morning, my word to you to start out with, no longer let it be in your mind that you can't when God says you can.
Good.
No longer let it be in your mind that God won't when God said He will. That's your word for today. So if you live here and you don't get another word from anybody else, leave here within your mind that God says, no longer let it be in your mind I can't when He says you can. And no longer let it be in your mind that He won't when He said He will. Glory to God. So I've come to start out with this morning. We're going to lay a little bit of foundation and get into what the theme of the conference is about. And I've come to understand that there is power in knowing the three W's. You know the three W's? Who's, who, and why. Because once you understand whose you are, then you will begin to know who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now, ladies. And then when you begin to know who you are, you'll begin to understand why you are. People spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to figure out who they are. And I found out I didn't have to spend a bit of money. I just had to open this book to find out everything that I need to know whose I am. Who I am, and why I am. Glory to God. You don't need to look no further than this book right here. Hallelujah. So we're all on a journey of trying to find out why we're here and what is my purpose. And I don't think we'll ever get to that place, because if we do, then we have become complacent.
Yeah.
Because we stop seeking. Because we're growing. Mm-hmm. We are a work in progress. And the moment we quit being a work in progress, we're going to wake up in the arm of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all a work in progress. And so sometimes, you know, is it to get up every day and do the same old routine? And is there more to why I'm here? That's always the age-old question, you know. Am I just a wife to so-and-so? Or am I just a secretary? Or am I just a nurse? Am I just... And you can add whatever word you want to at the end of that. But at the end, am I just... Because you know what you've been saying to yourself, what your just is. And it's not the random thoughts. And I got this from a pastor at the Bible study. I can use it, right, Pastor? Amen. It's not the random thoughts that have defined you. It's not those thoughts that fly through your head. It's those same thoughts on a daily basis. And those thoughts become a pattern. Amen. That you allow those thoughts to become a pattern. And that pattern is how you begin to live your life out based on those patterns.
Amen.
So it becomes a pattern. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
So it's not that one time thinking, a random thought, but it becomes a pattern.
Right.
Do you recall the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You call that moment, you were so excited, and there was a change, and you knew it, and you sensed it, and you walked around, and people knew it because you even looked at, there was something on the outside of you that said, something has happened to that girl. Your steps were lighter, and that was joy. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Because you are a spirit, that's the real you. And you'd been dead a long time, and your trespasses, and your sin, all that junk you got stuck up with. Come on now. Now, I don't know if some of you have been there and done that, but I've been there and done that.
Uh-huh.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Well, glory. Your spirit man. I'll tell you what happened when you got saved. You got that bounce in your step. You got that glow. And you got that excitement. You want to know what happened? Anybody want to know what happened? Okay. Your spirit man got reconnected. Now, this is shouting stuff here. Your spirit man, that old man in you that was dead, and trespasses and sins and all that stuff that you did. Now, come on, don't you sit back there and look so perfect. Your spirit man got reconnected. Oh, how this is running right here. Got reconnected to the one that breathed the breath of life in you, that said that you were supposed to be here no matter how you got here, because it don't matter how your mom and daddy got together. You were supposed to be here. So what happened is your spirit man got reconnected back to the one that created you, and something became alive inside of you, and you knew that there was a change. And it was only then that you began to live, because you thought you were living before. You thought you were. But hallelujah, there's no life like the life of Christ. Amen. So you're now one with the one that has the answer to all your situations, circumstances, to what has been, is now, and ever will be. Hallelujah. So what happened to that joy, that bounce in your step? Well, I've got an answer for that too. Amen, I do. You know what it's called? It's a four-letter word. And it's called life. Isn't that a big revelation? It's called L-I-F-E. Life. Amen? So take a deep breath. Now I know what's been going on. I've been living life. So you've just been living life, and you've gotten so caught up in the living that you have forgotten who you are. And that's exactly what the enemy wanted, is for you to forget who you are, because there is power in knowing who you are. Because have you ever been given a job position and nobody told you what to do? There's no power in that. You won't accomplish anything. You won't get anything done. But there is power in knowing who you are. So nothing has taken you that's not common to man. It's called life. And things happen. Yeah. So life is that which we get caught up to doing every day. You cannot get out of it. You can't get out of it. You can't go home and cover your head up. You can't go home and just pretend like there's nothing happening. You cannot get out of it until you draw your last breath and go home to be with Jesus. But in the meantime, we have got a life to live, a purpose to accomplish, things to do, places to go, the word to preach, people see healed, saved, and delivered. Yes. Hallelujah. So you cannot get out of it until you draw your last breath and go home to be with Jesus. And in the process of living this life, we lose our joy, we lose the bounce that's in our step, because we have forgotten whose we are, who we are, and why we are. Remember the three W's. Never forget the three W's. And the first one is the most important one. Life has a way of doing that. After we get saved, we get settled back into life. We start living again. And then we start gradually losing that joy, losing that bounce, and losing that glow. So we have come together today to be reminded. How many likes to be reminded every once in a while? Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be 53 next month, and I love sticky notes.
Oh, come on.
Whoever invented sticky notes was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I keep them on the dashboard on my car and the bathroom mirror. And it's not that I'm forgetting. It's just that I like to be reminded. That's right. Hallelujah. So it's no accident that you are here today. Amen? In the Bible, God has likened the church to a body, to a flock, to sheep, a family, an army, and a building. But another word he has likened the church to is a bride. He has likened the church to a bride, the bride of Christ. And our scripture for today is Revelation 21:9. Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So we're here today to be talking about the bride of Christ and to be reminded of whose we are, who we are, and why we are. Let us take the word bride and break it down letter by letter this morning. And the first letter of bride is, I want to talk about beloved. Beloved, beloved, as some people might say. The second letter we're going to be talking about in bride is redeemed. And the third letter we're going to be talking about today is identity. And the fourth letter that we're going to be talking about today is destined. And the fifth letter in bride we're going to be talking about is enjoy. And that's the one that we need to get. So B for beloved or beloved, which part of the country you're from. Beloved. Beloved of the scripture means greatly loved. Greatly loved. As a bride of Christ, you are greatly loved this morning. And I said one Sunday morning, if we could get a revelation of how much God loved us, that would solve a lot of our problems, because we wouldn't be striving to be something that we not already are. Amen. We are greatly loved. He has called you his beloved, one that is greatly loved. Romans 8:33, it's a big, lot of scriptures here, but who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies? It's he who puts us in right relation to himself. Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died or rather was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall separate us, or what shall separate us? Who or what shall separate you from the love of God, the love of Christ, or Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, sounds like life has settled in on this person, or calamity, distress, or persecution, hunger, destruction, peril, or sword. Even at his, it is written, for your sake we're put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. That don't sound good. Yet amid all these things, somebody say all these things, that life brings, all these things, you are more than a conqueror, and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, beyond doubt and sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, height, depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life has settled in on you, but in all of that, nothing can separate you from the, oh, hallelujah, the love of God. Woo! Nothing shall separate God from loving you. No matter how mean and nasty and ugly you are sometime. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. So no matter what life has thrown at you, on a daily basis, the love of God for you has not changed. And as a bride of Christ, I'm reminding you this morning that you are the beloved of God. Greatly loved and chosen and accepted by him. Amen. The second letter we're going to look at this morning is, in bride, is redeemed. As a bride, you've been redeemed. Amen. Redeemed or redemption is the act of buying something back. Buying something back. 1 Peter 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, he purchased us from the slavery of sin, past, present, and that stuff you're going to do this evening.
Amen.
Or next week. It has been paid for and purchased already. Amen. So redeem means always involves from going something, from something to something. Because God never takes you out of something that he don't bring you into something better.
Amen.
Amen. He always brings you out to bring you into. And it's always greater because God takes us from glory to glory. So in this case, it is Christ freeing us from the bondage of the law to a freedom of new life in him. And another word we need to grasp as the bride of Christ is grace. You are not under the law anymore. You are under grace. Hallelujah. And grace is not a license to sin, but it's a covering for us. Amen. So when we are redeemed, we become different. You know, when God redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt, he made them a new nation and gave them a new land. And when God redeemed you and purchased you, and you became, your spirit man became reborn again, you got a new name. Amen. Glory to God. So likewise, we as Christians have a new identity that we're going to be talking about in Christ. No longer captives to sin and death. Sin has no control over you any longer. Glory to God. You've been redeemed. Instead, we have become a citizen of God's kingdom in the earth now. All the kingdom provided now. There's things that I won't need when I get to heaven. I'm going to have it all. But sisters, I need some help on the way sometime. And it's already been provided for us now. Now, amen. So we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience the joy of being redeemed. We have it now. Glory to God. You know, the song that we sing is sometimes all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by the ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up with shackles of all my failures, wondering how long this is going to last. You ever been there? Then you looked at this prisoner and said to me, daughter, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. Hallelujah. Stop fighting a fight that Jesus has already won for you. And accept the fact that the price has been paid in full. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. Because his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, and I'm not the same. And a hope that will carry me home. Glory to God. And that hope is I am now the bride of Christ. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. So the third word we're going to look at right now is I in bride. And we're going to talk about identity. Boy, do we as women have a problem with identity. Amen. We want to measure ourselves up. A woman can walk in a room and they will scope. A man will walk in.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're trying to measure ourselves up. Amen. Our identity is how we define ourselves. And most of us define ourselves by what we do and not who we are. Your job is your job. It's not who you are. Amen. So we are not bound to be who we were. We have come from where we've come from because our identity is birthed from something much bigger than where we've come from or what we've done. So I believe there's some thievery been going on in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Why do I know that? Because I've been hearing some people talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in line with what God says they are.
Yeah.
I think he's still in some identity. Hallelujah. So your identity comes with what you believe about yourself, even if it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because you can believe a lie. But if it's not what the Word says, then it's a lie. So whatever you are believing about your identity, about yourself, whether it's the truth or a lie, is what you will become. Glory to God. That's powerful, church. So the devil will try to steal your identity by planting lying thoughts in your mind about who you are. And in the middle of living life, as we talked about a while ago, just doing what we know to do day to day, that's, like I said a while ago, it's not the random thoughts that get us into trouble. But it's when those thoughts become a pattern. And then we begin to live out that pattern that we have created in our mind. And I just read recently that there are about 60,000 thoughts that go through our minds a day. About which 56,000 of them is about our own wants, needs, or concerned. Wow. Or concerns. That, my sisters, is what the devil plays on. Because we begin to totally focus on our own needs, wants, and concerns, we begin to doubt that God is not able. And it's like I said at the beginning, no longer let it be in your mind that God won't when he says, I will. Amen. So we struggle with thoughts as the same tactic the enemy used from the beginning. If God said, then why? It hasn't changed. So he wants you to bite on the lie. And once we begin to bite on that lie, which is not the truth of the Word of God, that's when those thought patterns, those random thoughts become patterns. So, it's like I said before, I've been hearing some people talking, and thievery means the action of stealing from another person. And we're all familiar with John 10:10 that says the thief comes to steal. Yeah. He only comes for one reason, and that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The word thief comes from the Greek word klepto, which means to steal. It gives a picture of a bandit pickpocketing, a thief who is artful in the way he steals, that the exploits of thievery are nearly undetectable. So what happens is he begins to nitpick at your mind by if God said, why has not this happened yet? Back to if God said. So he's a nitpicker. He's a mind picker, a pickpocketer. Mm-hmm. Amen. With a little thought, suddenly chipping away at your self-worth, residing in your God-given identity. And this just happens by just living life and doing what you know to do every day, that we get caught up in that cycle and we forget who we are. The Bible says in Matthew 3 that Jesus was baptized by his father, and his father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my son, beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Then you go on to read, it says, immediately after that, Satan said to him, "If you are the Son of God, then you command these stones be made bread." So the devil immediately tried to get him to doubt who he was. Immediately he began to try to get Jesus to doubt who he was. So Jesus did say, "Well, I thought I was the Son of God, but now I'm not sure." So the devil knew, but Jesus didn't do that, did he? We know that. But he said, "Well, I thought," Satan knew if he could get Jesus to doubt his identity, he would also question everything else the Father told him about him. So that's why we have to continually remind ourselves of who we are as daughters of God. It's because if he can get you to doubt who you are and chip away at your identity, then you'll begin to doubt everything else that God has said about you. So instead of trying to prove, because you don't have to prove anything. Amen. Amen? So instead of trying to prove what he was Jesus simply chose to believe what his Father had said. He just simply chose to believe. Now I'm not going to go there. You are the bride of Christ. You are beloved, greatly loved. And you are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And your identity is found in who you are in Christ. The next letter we're going to be looking at is destined. The D in bride is destined. Ephesians 1 says, "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." The Amplified Bible says, "He foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted or revealed as his own children through Jesus in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him And it was his kind intent. Predestined simply means, beforehand. And before God ever spoke in the beginning of time for the darkness to become light, he had you on his mind. He already had you on his mind. He'd already accepted you as his bride. You were destined to be a bride. Isn't that awesome? You were destined to be a bride. So you, before the world was created, he had you on his mind. His plan and his purpose for you was already laid out. So you don't have to go searching for it. You don't have to pay somebody big money to tell them. It's already been laid out before the foundation of the world. Amen? So it seems as if God has walked our lives out from the end to the beginning. And then he surprises us with the fact that we're supposed to walk out the middle. And so you're like, okay, let's see the bigger picture. But he never shows us the bigger picture. Because, and as women, we always want to know the bigger picture, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. But he just calls us to walk the middle out by faith. That's the life that I was talking about that settles in day to day. Meaning destined, ordained, appointed, predetermined to be or to do something, bound for a certain destination, to set apart for a particular use or purpose. And so many things have happened to you as a woman that has tried to keep you from your destiny and your purpose, whether it was abuse, failed marriages, children that's gone crazy, a spouse died. Hallelujah. So many things that want to keep you from finding out and from walking in your purpose and your destiny in God. And when things like that go crazy about life, I just say, another testimony, hallelujah, glory to God. Another testimony, hallelujah. So many things have come along in your life. That's why you're here today, so that you can be reminded that you are the bride of Christ, that you are the daughter of the Most High, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can remember one time being in prayer, and I had a vision of this person, and I assumed it was God. I know it was God. And all I seen was his back. And I see the canvas in front of him. And as I walked up to him, I peeked over his shoulder. And he was painting on the canvas. And I knew that it was my life, even though I didn't see anything in particular. And that's the same thing that he's doing for you. He's painting on this canvas of your life, one stroke at a time. And you know how fast or slow he paints? It's according to how much you're willing to cooperate. And I don't know about you, but mine goes really slow sometimes. Thank God for Jesus that intercedes for me. Hallelujah. But that's what he's doing for you. He's painting on the canvas of your life. And boy, we can mess it up sometimes. But he says, no, the blood. The blood, hallelujah. The blood, glory to God. The blood, hallelujah. So I did not see anything in particular, but I knew that's what he was doing. And he's doing the same thing for you right now. He's painting on the canvas of your life. And just every once in a while, sisters, just every once in a while, he'll allow you to peek over his shoulder and catch a glimpse just to remind you that you're not off, that you're not crazy. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. That he's not finished with you yet. In spite of what you have been told, or in spite of what you have been through, he's not finished with you yet. Glory to God. He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Hallelujah. So he's still painting on the canvas of your life, and it's not over. It's only beginning. Amen? So I've got good news for you today. It's all going to be okay. All is well. You know, I was telling somebody, the last 10 years of my life, I could write a book just within the last 10 years. That's not counting the years before that. But the last 10 years, I could write a story. But it's one thing I have found out, all is well. And no matter what I've gone through in that moment of time, my testimony has always been, all is well. All is well. And that which has seen over the years, he says, hold on, I'm still painting, and you will see the finished work. And he is the world's best architect, painter, ever. So let's go on to E this morning in bride. The E in bride this morning is enjoy. Some of you need to laugh again. If you have to just start out by laughing just because you know that you're supposed to. Amen. Just laugh because you know that you're just supposed to. And you get to doing that, the Holy Ghost will kick in. And before you know it, it'll be a holy laughter. Amen. God wants you to enjoy being His bride. You know, when you first got married, you enjoyed being the bride of your husband. And after a while, life kicks in. Mother-in-law closing ears. I love you more than anything. But life begins to kick in. And that's the same thing as we get born again. Our spirit man gets recreated again. Yeah. That life thing begins to set in. But God wants you to enjoy being His bride. Because you begin to understand the love that He has for you. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God has provided everything for your enjoyment. Hallelujah. He has provided everything for you to enjoy. And John 10:10, I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Enjoy means to have or receive happiness. It's okay for you to be happy. It's not based on what you have in your bank account. If you've got 2 cents, hallelujah, I've got 2 pennies, and if I get 3 more, I'll have 5 cents. I pick up pennies, and my husband don't like it when I do that. I said, but honey, I'll look for 4 more, and I'll have 5 cents. Money cometh. Sometimes it comes in small doses, but it's more than what I had before. So God wants you to enjoy. Enjoy. To have, receive happiness, pleasure, or satisfaction from someone or something. We know, as we said, that life is a journey. And the best way to do life is what? One step at a time. Amen? One step at a time. If you ever try to do a bunch of steps real fast, you'll get tangled up and fall. One step at a time. So I have found out over time that each step I take, He always has been faithful to give me just enough light for the step I'm on. But we want to see the bigger picture. We want to see what, when, why, where. Amen. If we did, we wouldn't have to walk by faith. We wouldn't have to keep believing. Glory to God. So we don't have to know the bigger picture. The overflow of life comes through having a relationship with Jesus. And through that relationship, you enjoy all other relationships. And we're going to have ministry time after a while at the end of Pastor Connie's message. But I just want to say a few things before I close this morning. Some of you all need to take your mourning clothes off. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. You have mourning clothes on and you don't know it. And I went to a Bible study at Pastor Laverne, and the last 10 years of my life have been so crazy. I mean, crazy, crazy. I'll write a book about it someday. And I did not, you don't know you have mourning clothes on until the Holy Spirit opens up and reveals it to you. But I get strange things out of Bible study sometimes. And Pastor Laverne was teaching on the book of Ruth. And she said something one night about when Ruth was out gleaning, that she probably still had her mourning clothes on. And the Holy Spirit quickened in my spirit and told me that I had mourning clothes on because of everything that happened the last year, because you just go through life and life settles in and you just do what you know to do every day. And pretty soon you're just motionless. This is what I got to do today. I'll do this today. And so pretty soon you put on these mourning clothes and you don't realize you have them on. And so God's going to remove whatever you've been going through that caused you to put those on. God is going to remove those mourning clothes today so that you can enjoy. You know, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is whoever God puts in your path. You know why you can't love your neighbor sometimes? Because you don't even like yourself. And if you don't like or love yourself, then how do you expect to have a relationship with anybody else? You know, love God, love yourself, and then love others as God puts them into your path. So God wants you to take off the mourning. So we've covered the bride of Christ, beloved, redeemed, identity, destined, and enjoying our relationship with God. And before we do that, we've got to know that we're beloved. We've got to know that we've been redeemed. We've got to remember our identity in Christ. We've got to know that we've been destined. And then through all of that, we can say, yeah, I can enjoy who I am. I am not there, but thank God I'm further than I was yesterday. Amen. I haven't arrived, but I'm further than I was yesterday. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes for a minute, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Laverne. And I want you to think just for a moment to prepare you for the next session and prepare prayer later. You get angry easy, frustrated, lonely. Are you worried about something that is going on and you've been slacking off church or your relationship with God by not getting into the Word or praying? Are you wrestling with some habit or sin that has hold on you? Do you feel like you're just working at a dead-end job that nobody appreciates? You know what you're struggling with. The answer is not to quit and not to throw in the towel. You've just got caught up in life and in doing what you know to do from day to day. But listen, God is calling you beyond all of that. And this is His message to you. The God who made you in the first place. The one who got you started. He tells you, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. And I've called you by your name. You're mine. And when you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you'll not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am your God, your personal God, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back and trade the creation just for you. Pastor Laverne.
Wow. You know, that story about Ruth. When Ruth was wearing the mourning clothes, it was because the season she had been walking in, she needed to wear them.
Right.
And we go through things, and we're doing what we need to do at the time.
Right.
But then the challenge comes along, like Pastor Shirley's given us, and saying, it's time to go to a different level. And you won't go to a different level till you change your clothes. Because when Ruth went back in and Naomi said, Ruth, get the best garments you've got on, because tonight you're going to go. God's got something new for you. So, but before she could get the new thing, and before we can get the new thing from Jesus, we've got to be willing to walk out of what we've been in. It may not have been a bad thing, but God says, you want to go with me? Yes, Lord, where are you going? All right, change your clothes. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Hey. You can learn from anything, can't you? All kinds of things go through my head, and I was thinking of that. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. Thou art mine. When thou walkest through the fire. You know, all that. I just think so many things when she's up here. But hold on to this. Hold on to what she said, because there's going to come a time for you to be ministered to. We're going to take a break. And they've got snacks for you out there. So the restrooms, I'll make sure there's no men in the men's. They're in the back. If you don't know where they are, somebody will show you. And then there's a little restroom in the preschool classroom. So while some of you's using the restroom, the others get you a snack, and then when they're done, you can go to the bathroom. Now I'm going to give you 15 minutes. I think we can get back in here in 15 minutes, don't you? All right. You're on your way.